Coming up on 8 minutes past the hour, as promised, Walter Todd joins us, President, CIO, and Managing Director at Greenwood Capital. So currency is very much in the picture this morning, Walter. And I want to lay out an argument that was made on our air late last week by Timur Beg. And it's that dollar strength is likely to boomerang on the Fed and end up hurting the United States. And the argument is that the U.S. economy is a much smaller percentage of the global economy than back in Volcker's day, and that tightness that dollar strength imposes on the rest of the world is just going to make the pie smaller and make it more difficult for the U.S. to not only grow but to fight inflation. Your thoughts on that argument?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on. I would agree with the concept that the I would say disorderly to getting a little disorderly in the currency market. So the dollar strength is really destabilizing a number of different currencies and countries around the world right now. And, you know, I think the Fed seems so, you know, myopically focused on the inflation, which I understand, but they're maybe losing sight of some of the financial stability concerns that are, you know, front and center. So I do think that there's going to have to be, you mentioned, some type of maybe coordinated action from other central banks to try to ease this one-way trade that's going on of dollar strength and weakness everywhere else around the world, whether it's the UK, whether it's Japan. You think about emerging markets with all the dollar-denominated debt that they have. So it is creating significant financial pressure and tightening of financial conditions, not only in the U.S., but around the world.
But tell me here, Walter, you know, there's a huge risk of a policy mistake, surely, and the Federal Reserve, as well as other central banks, just going too far too fast.
Yeah, I mean, I think the market's telling them they're making that mistake as we speak. If you look at, you know, kind of pick your metric, you look at the 210 spread, it's negative 50 basis points. You look at the 1 year break even here in the U.S., it's collapsed from over 6 to below 2%. If you look at, other market signals, you know, Powell said he wants positive real yields across the curve. They're there. So the markets, in my opinion, it's kind of trying to tell the Fed, hey, just stop and wait. Yeah. And inflation's coming down and coming down fast as we head into 2023. So we don't need to do any more. But they're not heeding that advice at this point.
Yeah, you wonder, because the market sort of led the Fed into doing what it did starting in March, and it was behind the curve. The market was out in front. But does the Fed actually think that it's leading the market now?
Well, if they think that, I think they're wrong, unfortunately. But again, just all the market signals are telling us that they are they have done enough already. Unfortunately, I think they're trying to wait to see the numbers kind of flow through the official data. And if they wait for that, they're going to be too tight for too long, for sure. And we're going to have a significant slowdown or, you know, pretty bad recession in 2023 if they are waiting for that, the CPI, to actually come down.
Walter, what do you think is really, in your view, in your gut, how do you think all these interest rate hikes are going to play out for the economy overall? Give us your sort of best and worst case scenarios.
Given the fact that these impact the economy with a lag, we as much damage as we're seeing in the financial markets, from an economic perspective, we're just starting to see the impact of these interest rate increases, and they will continue to ripple through the economy. So we know that housing is slowing dramatically. We know that auto sales are slowing significantly as a result of these higher rates. So it's hard to envision a scenario where economic growth is anything but slow. That the best case scenario is it's positive but slow. The worst case scenario is it's a significant recession, given the amount of hikes. I just want to make the point here real quickly, though, that this time last year, the market and the Fed were expecting 125 basis point hike in 2022. To date, they have hiked rates 3 percentage points this year, and are hiking, you know, more into 2023. So it's not the level as much as it is the speed with which the dynamics have changed and the speed with which rates are being hiked.
It's a real difficult task to beat inflation, but it may be even more difficult to beat deflation. We have more of a playbook for beating inflation. And for most of the prognosis by a lot of the Fed policymakers, they're going to get inflation to come down to 2%, and then it magically stabilizes. And I think that's you know, that's what really it is magic, because once you start the momentum down from 9% to 2%, it's not likely to stop, is it?
Yeah, that's a risk, right? If you slow things down too quickly and too fast, that, yeah, to your point, it's hard to envision it all, you know, all of a sudden, you know, stopping it too and not pushing through beyond that. And I think, again, that's the risk of kind of looking at the recent data and looking kind of in the rearview mirror versus looking ahead and seeing what's happening on the ground. We're already seeing deflation in housing prices. I mean, in certain markets, we're already seeing deflation in used car prices. So you're already starting to see that, and you're going to have to start to pull back ahead of getting to 2% to try to, you know, kind of ease it into that level. And the 1 year break even is already there. I mean, it's already at 2%. Mm. So again, you know, It's a tricky spot they're in. I don't envy the job at all, but I wish they would look at the real-time data versus maybe the official statistics a little bit more.
Well, can you imagine being portfolio managers having to wade through all this? What do they do here? Because I mean, if you stay in cash, your money's being eroded by inflation. If you get into the market, you're getting beaten up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I do think they're, you know, if you look at corporate bond yields right now, I mean, again, I get inflation currently is at 8%, but if I'm able to put money to work at, you know, 2 to 3 year money in corporate bonds and get more than 5%, I think that's actually going to be a pretty good bet, because I think inflation is going to be quite a bit lower a year from now. So I think that's going to look pretty good. So I think that's an opportunity here. And I think, you know, there's a lot of names, quality names, that are just being taken out. And you mentioned earlier that fundamentals are being ignored, and that's true. It's a very macro driven market right now. So I think there are opportunities in individual names within the market that, if your time horizon is, you know, longer than 6 or 12 months, that they're probably pretty good spots to be putting money to work. But in the short term, it's going to be volatile. You got to be willing to take some pain.
In the short term, to find those, do you have to look more at consumer staples and utilities?
We don't think so. I think those names are very expensive relative to history. And so as far as defensive sectors, we like healthcare versus those two right now, if you want to play defense. If you want to get a little bit more offensive and look at some a little bit more, you know, cyclical areas, as crazy as that may sound right now. You know, I mean, you know, we don't own FedEx, but I mean, FedEx down 20%, you know, trade at 9 times. If you're willing to look out again, you know, 36 months out, it's probably not a bad spot to pick something like that up, or even energy that got really tomahawked on Friday.
Walter, thank you so much for joining us. That's Walter Todd then, the MD and CIO at Greenwood Capital, getting his take on the markets.